This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes, yes, yes. Hour number three. Hour number trace. Of the Zach Gilb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. I know our Boise affiliate joins us right now for the final 2 hours of the show. Your head football coach at Boise State, Andy Avalos, will join us coming up tomorrow right here at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Zach Gilb Show. And just a programming note as well for tomorrow, former Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander will also join the fun. We got a lot of surprises this week. We don't even know technically who we're going to have on for the show, but I know we're going to have a lot of surprises this week with the four teams remaining. We got Lorenzo Alexander, Bills related tomorrow. I'm sure we'll get on another Bill before the end of the week. We got some things in the works. We'll hit a Green Bay Packer, former Buck, and we'll also give you a former Kansas City Chief as well. As we have the Final Four in the National Football League, you got Josh Allen and his Buffalo Bills going to Kansas City, Arrowhead, as they will hopefully have Patrick Mahomes, the reigning MVP, the man that also, or excuse me, Patrick Mahomes is someone won the MVP 2 years ago, reigning Super Bowl MVP, with Lamar Jackson winning it last year. And hopefully we will have a great matchup on Sunday in the second game and the first game. It's the battle of the two old guys, two legends still, and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to frigid Lambeau Field to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Anyway, enough bloviating, enough talking about the matchups that we have. We got to talk about what happened on divisional round weekend to get to the Final Four in the National Football League, because we had four games. I'm not going to say they were all great games. First game, Packers and Rams. You look back at that, the Green Bay Packers, they were the better team throughout. It was a one-score game, and then Alan Lazard had that big 50-something yard receiving touchdown by Aaron Rodgers, making up for when Lazard did drop the football early in that game. Rodgers, see, you know what's crazy with the Packers? I still think they have the next-level gear, and still look how impressive they were this past weekend. They were great this past weekend, and they still could have been even better. And they got so many guys on that team, whether it's Adams, Jones, Elgton Jenkins was great, Rodgers, Jair Alexander. That team is such a good football team. And they were probably the most impressive team over the weekend. And there was even a throw that Rodgers missed. I think it was down the left sideline where he threw the ball out of bounds and he could have had MVS, which would have been a walk-in touchdown, would have been like a 60, 70-yard touchdown. This team, they are so good. And think about how all offseason, and yes, the organization, they did not do themselves any favor with what they did in the draft. And Rodgers still doesn't have a legit number two wide receiver. And still, you still find a way and see how he finds a way to get MVS or get Alan Lazard or Robert Tonyan, who should have been a Pro Bowl tight end this year, just working into the game plan so perfectly. So, yeah, it got close a little bit in Green Bay and the Rams. Let's be real, you never thought the Packers losing that game. Disappointment for the Ravens, because that game was 3-3 at halftime. You felt as if they should have had a lead. Buffalo's at home. Even though they were not great in the first half and Buffalo was getting outplayed, you're still 3-3. You come out of the half, Stephon Diggs, touchdown, and Lamar Jackson driving the football, finds Taron Johnson. Uh-oh, that's not someone on his team, and Taron Johnson takes it 101 yards to the house. Right there, 17-3. The game's not over, but you feel as if, okay, Buffalo just punched their ticket to the AFC title game, and then Lamar Jackson gets hurt, and then Huntley, I know he missed Marquise Hollywood-Brown down the sideline and late, couldn't get the ball in the end zone. At that point, it was too little too late, so the Bills do advance. And then on Sunday, I thought they were the two best games of the weekend in terms of competitive feel and just back and forth. Browns were down early to Kansas City. Browns had the whole fumble at the end of the first half. They were down 19-3 at halftime. And at that point, you're not really expecting much out of the Browns. And the game changed. I know they got a touchdown. You also have Mahomes getting hurt. That's the big turning point in the third quarter. You get a touchdown. You pull within a score. It's 22-17. And Chad Henne throws an interception. And right there at the interception, what are we thinking? This is how the Chiefs are not going to get back-to-back Lombardi trophies. Because now Baker Mayfield has the ball. They couldn't do much offensively. They punted the football. And then after that, they never got the ball back. And I don't blame them for punting the football. Where they were at the field position, it was the right decision to punt. That was not Mike Tomlin down. That was not Mike Vrabel down in his field position. It was inexcusable to punt the football there. It was a smart decision to punt the football. You're not expecting Chad Henne to beat you. And what did Chad Henne do? Along with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. He beat you. 3rd and 14, you can't allow 13 yards. You can't put yourself in a position where Kansas City is at least even going to think about going for it. And yeah, I was like everyone else. I'm sitting on my couch. They're just going to go, blue 42, hut it, hike, hut it, hike, hut it, hike. Flag, punt the football, or you take a timeout. Most likely flag, pushes you back, and then you punt the football. And then Chad Henne rolls out to the right. Tyreek Hill caught the football. It's a first down. How about those Chiefs? And then Browns fans were very excited probably on that play. And then all of a sudden, a big balloon was just popped. And there was no, here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns. And it's 1st and 10. You were hoping it was 1st and 10 getting the football to try to go win a touchdown and punch a ticket to the AFC title game. Could you imagine? We did that last week. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We were hyping that up last week. Can you imagine a Bills-Browns AFC title game? We were so close, but yet so far. And then finally in the last game, Saints were the better team in the first half. They didn't have a lead at halftime. Very reminiscent to the game that you saw, and more points, than the game that you saw on Saturday between the Ravens and the Bills. The Bills were fortunate that it was 3-3 at halftime. The Saints, or the Bucs, were fortunate that it was 13-13 at halftime. And there was a big interception that kept the Bucs in it. Second half, Saints take the lead. And the next thing you know, Drew Brees, two more picks. Jared Cook, fumble. Tom Brady protected the football. Had a few situations where he could have got picked off, but didn't. His defense was awesome. They had 21 points off turnovers, 3 touchdowns off turnovers. And they ended up winning the game 30-20. So that sets it up with, as we mentioned, you got the Bills and you got the Chiefs. That's a 6:40 game on Sunday. And before that, a few minutes after 3 o'clock, you will get Brady and the Bucks going to Lambeau Field with the Green Bay Packers. So we gave you some of the recap. Now let's get to some audio. We give you the biggest storylines of the day. It's called the News Brief. Let's roll.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, rough day at the office for Drew Brees and what was probably his final game in the National Football League. Drew Brees says he has zero regrets about coming back this season.
I would never regret it. Never. No complaints, no regrets. I've always tried to play this game with a great respect and a great reverence for it. And I appreciate all that this game has given to me.
I remember in the offseason there was those reports how Drew Brees wasn't sure if he was coming back. And everyone sat back and said, come on, Drew. You're coming back. We all know that you're returning. And Zach Sharif is really the one that illustrated the point to us how close it was that Drew Brees was going to retire. And he ended up coming back, had 11 rib fractures, had a punctured lung. And when he came back, he just never looked himself. And he came back at Kansas City, and you knew just he wasn't right. And Michael Thomas, who had no catches, by the way, because of the Drew Brees performance, no one will talk about Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas had an offer Think about it. Michael Thomas had one of the all-time great seasons last year. And this year, I know he was injured, but when he was healthy, he was not good. And there's a lot more behind the scenes. You hear about getting into fights with teammates. You wonder maybe how long he was maybe milking the injury. I don't know, I have all the specifics to it. But I saw Rap Sheet to say said today that all options are on the table for Michael Thomas. Could they maybe move on from him? I know he is an unbelievable player, but yeah, Trace just got him a hair. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, please, please, please get me Michael Thomas. We'll talk about that later on the show. All right, that will be something that will come back up later on the program. But Michael Thomas, zero catches yesterday. Zero. So people are going to forget about that. But for Drew, I didn't view that team as a team that was going to win the Super Bowl this year once he came back. I'm talking about from the injury. And still, they were 60 minutes away from going to an NFC title game. And the last 3 years, even with Drew not at his best, interception NFC title game against the Rams, you had last year, wild card round. They were the 3 seed. No one thought they were going to lose to the Vikings. He had an interception and a fumble. This year, I know Cook had the fumble. That was a big turning point, but also Breeze had the 3 interceptions. Hey, yikes, yikes, yikes. So I don't expect him to regret the decision, but it's time to go. And you know this. After the game, he's looking back, looking at the scoreboard, looking at the stadium. Afterwards, Brady and him shared a moment post-game. His daughter is there. His sons are there. His wife is there. And they were really soaking it in because they know that's the last time Dad's going to be playing in the National Football League. So he'll probably take a few weeks, probably somewhere, 7 to 21 days, and they'll have a Zoom press conference, and that's it for Drew Brees. It's a shame, though, that we couldn't have a bunch of fans there because of COVID. It's a weird way for a career to end. Yes, with the 3 interceptions, it's a horrible ending, but at least he could have got that one last big ovation walking off the field because Drew Brees definitely deserves it. Let's hear one more from Drew Brees. He says he's fought through more adversity this season than any other year before.
Man, you find out so much about yourself and you have to fight through so much, you know, when you play this game. And I'd say this season, probably had to fight through more than I've ever had to in any other season in my career. From injury to all the COVID stuff to just crazy circumstances. Man, it was worth every moment of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, think about that. COVID. And then also 11 rib fractures and a collapsed lung. You got to respect the competitiveness of Drew Brees because you know he wanted that second ring. And he still had an all-time great career. And the last 3-4 years, they just had some bad luck. They had some bad turnovers, some bad officiating. And I wonder what the excuse Saints fans are going to make this time around. There's any controversial calls in that game where they're going to petition and file lawsuits. But all kidding aside, Drew Brees, one of the class acts and one of the great names and the great people in the National Football League. All right, next up, Tom Brady. We know he played a lot of cold games. Now, Tampa Bay, a lot of those guys in the roster have not played cold games, but Tom Brady said he's ready for the cold elements in Lambeau Field this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, it's chilly, man. That's January football in Northeast, Midwest, and we'll be prepared. You know, the team that plays the best is going to win, not the team that is the coldest. Or, you know, we're going to have to go out there and play well. And we're going to be challenged, and it's going to be a great game.
And that game, it's going to come down to offense, line play, and which quarterback coughs up the football to the other team. And it's tough to see right now anyone slowing down Rodgers. And Brady, as great as he is, the 14 conference championship games and 19 seasons as a starter, he did not look immortal yesterday. You know, he had some bad throws, but he protected the football and didn't get picked off. Now, the offense is going to have to be better at Lambeau if they're going to want to win this game. And they're going up against the Saints have a better defense than the Packers, but the Packers defense, it's not bad. They made some improvements this year. So that game, I really think it comes down to which quarterback you get pressure on. And Rodgers, they got pressure on him twice, and he threw 2 picks last time. So Bucks beat them back in week 6, and Green Bay was spotted a 10-0 lead. I think that's going to be a close game. You just look at Green Bay, and they look like a team that's destined to get to the Super Bowl right now. Baker Mayfield and the Brownies are going home. At the end of the first half, the Browns were driving. Rashard Higgins caught a football, was running, reached out for the end zone. Ball fumbled out of the back of the end zone. Baker Mayfield said that was not the reason they lost the game, though.
Obviously, it's going to be a big play, but there's, you know, that's the easy finger pointing answer. But there's so many other plays that we could have done. Obviously, I did the Cardinals and threw across my body in the middle of the field on the first drive coming out second half. Just, you know, we hurt ourselves in the first half and they capitalized, and that's what the good teams do. And so, yeah, they were better than us.
Yeah, I hate that rule. We talked about that earlier. It's not the reason why the Browns lost the game. The reason the Browns lost the game, coming off that Henny interception, they punted the football. When it's 22-17, you go drive down the field, take the lead, and then you allowed Henny get 13 yards on 3rd and 14, and then you couldn't stop him on 4th and 1. Really, that 3rd down, yeah, it's a great decision to go for it on 4th. Everyone's jaw just drops and hits the floor, and it was unbelievable. But the fact that it even got to that point, those 13 yards, I know people look at the 4th and 1 play because that was the game-winning play, but those 13 yards allowed that play to happen. So the Browns defense, that's going to haunt them for a while. And then for Baker, who's had a really good year this year, you got to put the ball in the end zone after that Henny interception. Travis Kelce, he knows his team lost his quarterback, expected, though, to return this weekend and for the AFC title game, as the Chiefs will be in 3 consecutive AFC title games. Travis Kelce said nothing changed once Chad Henne came into the game.
Nothing changed, man. Nothing changed. Chad came in and uplifted us. We uplifted him, and we just rallied together, man. And that's what this team did, offensively, defensively, special teams. We circled the wagon and got a little bit tighter as a group and found a way to win against a good football team.
Nothing changed? Come on. It's just a human emotion when you have a great player like Patrick Mahomes go down, and especially when he stood back up and he was totally out of it. It was scary. Yeah, that affects you. And it's amazing how in those spots, how athletes, especially in the NFL, are able to just store that in the back of their brain. And then sometimes it takes teams a little bit longer to adapt. The Chiefs adapted right away. So he is right that they were able to adapt quickly. But yeah, a lot changes when you lose Patrick Mahomes for Chad Henne. If Chad Henne doesn't rush for 13 yards of that play and then convert that 4th and 1, who knows? Maybe the Browns get the football back and they go win the game. And we're talking about a different outcome today on this day after divisional round weekend Monday on the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Finally, we go from football to hockey. So Jacob Voracek of the Flyers got into it with a media member and a former foe of yours truly, and Mike Sielski of the Philadelphia Inquirer. When Mike Sielski was at the Philadelphia Inquirer, still is, but when I was at college at Temple, Mike Sielski used to always troll Temple football. And he would write nothing ever positive about Temple football, would never go to a press conference, would never go to a Temple football game. And Mike Sielski would write the most negative things about Temple and just like laughed at the notion that Temple fans wanted this on-campus stadium. So I invited at the time Mike Sielski on a college radio show. Now, when you're a reporter and you get invited on a college radio show, you're not expecting this thing to get contentious, right? Oh, you're helping out some college kids. That was a little bit different than just your typical traditional college broadcaster. I went at it with Mike Sielski. We were like yelling, going back and forth. And I even said at one point, because I had a bunch of facts, his big point of contention was that Temple didn't need to cut the athletic teams that they did, which was a common practice in college athletics. It stinks. Kids don't get to end up finishing out their college careers, but it was something that was happening. It still happens today. How many times do you hear, 6-7 programs cut? So I had all these facts, and I go, Mike, just admit that you were wrong. I said something like that. I go, you're just embarrassed that a college kid did better research and actually did his homework on the program, and you didn't. So myself and Mike Sielski, that was on Temple Twitter. That used to be big beef. And eventually I sat next to him, ironically, at a Sixers game. Like, just luck of the draw, that's what I was sitting next to. And we talked things over, and I actually liked Mike. But for a while, I would go after Mike Sielski all the time. When Temple won the American Athletic Conference championship game, coached by Matt Rhule, him and his counterpart, this guy David Murphy, who CSK actually liked. Murphy, I'm just not a fan of. David Murphy, I put a Jordan meme face on Murphy and Sielski because they were the two big Temple trolls. And, oh, some of the journalists in Philadelphia, oh, that's such petulant behavior. Oh, and like, we're having a fun little Twitter beef here. Like, calm down, everybody. So the media lost its mind, some people in Philadelphia. Anyway, so my relationship with Sielski is good. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I now like Mike Sielski again. But the other night when this happened with Jacob Voracek, because of my past, I had like 8-9 people from college that I haven't talked to since I graduated text me Did you see what happened with Mike Sielski? Did you see what happened with your number one fan? And I go, no, what happened? This is Jacob Voracek after the Flyers game talking to Mike Sielski.
This is for Jake. Two games in, Jake, how different does the season feel, if at all, given the circumstances of the offseason and the condensed schedule and everything?
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write it every time. No, so it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, it feels different. I mean, we got 4 points after the first two games. I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny. Next question.
Wow. I wonder what the history is there between those two. I actually was at the same award ceremony. I was actually once in a room with Mike Sielski, Jacob Voracek, and obviously myself. Philadelphia Sports Writers Association. I was honored for some award. So was Jacob Voracek. And Sielski was presenting some award. But it's just funny now. Voracek and Sielski, I thought they had a good relationship. Clearly not. And the NHL, I guess, ended up talking to Jacob Voracek about the cursing that he used in the postgame. I want to know why Voracek was so mad at Sielski. But my, oh, my. There's nothing ever wrong when players and media members go at it. Now, if that was a traditional press conference, I'm sure Sielski could have got a retort. They probably muted his microphone and said, okay, yeah, we're going to move on. What a moment there. All right, that's probably enough. Zach Gelb, college stories, getting into beefs with a pretty prominent journalist in Philadelphia. I'll say this about Sielski. The thing I give him credit for is he's not afraid to have a differentiating opinion, and he's never afraid to be critical. Like, even though I don't always agree with this analysis, I will give him credit for that. But he knows how to stir up the pot, man. Oh, him and Voracek. I wish we were in normal times just for a lot of reasons, but that would have been a good back and forth. That would have been like John Tortorella and Larry Brooks. Hey, Brooksy, go bleep yourself with John Tortorella. Hey, why don't you just get out of here? No one likes you. And some people, they won't be able to laugh at that. They're going to be like, oh, the athlete shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was pretty entertaining. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. Tennessee football. Rocky Top. Have you hit rock bottom? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. What a mess the Tennessee football team is. Remember 3 years ago when Tennessee wanted to hire Greg Schiano and the fan base was livid? The fan base was irate. Oh, we can't hire Greg Schiano. And they made up a bunch of things from the Sandusky scandal. And they basically made it seem as if Greg Schiano knew about all the child rape and covered it up just because they didn't want him as the football coach. It had nothing really to do. The Tennessee fans weren't really concerned about what happened with the Penn State situation. It was because they didn't want Greg Schiano as the next head football coach. So they used that against him when nothing has been proven about Greg Schiano's role in that. So Tennessee ended up hiring Jeremy Pruitt. 3 years later, 16-19, Jeremy Pruitt. And then goodbye, gone. New head football coach will be in there. But it's not only that. What makes that job a desirable job? And I don't want to compare it directly to Auburn because Auburn is a better program. Auburn has been better recently. But if you want to look at fans that have unrealistic expectations, Auburn and Tennessee can be kind of similar in that aspect. And maybe Brian Harsin turns out to be a tremendous football coach. I like the job that he did at Boise State. But can you tell me with 100% conviction right now that Brian Harsin's going to be better than Gus Malzahn? And sometimes the standards are just unrealistic. And at Tennessee, they think they are this great program. You know, it kind of reminds me of Texas fans and Miami fans. Anytime they get a big win, oh, we're back. Oh, here's Texas. Oh, here's Miami. Well, hold on. Shouldn't the standards from when we're talking about Texas and Miami being back are when Texas and Miami won championships? And Tennessee ruined a reputation of Greg Schiano and didn't want Greg Schiano for whatever the reasons were. And then 3 years later, you're looking for a new head football coach. I think Tennessee fans, if you shot them up with truth serum, would rather have now Greg Schiano or Jeremy Pruitt. And And who knows what the fans are going to want in this process, but look how far behind the game you are. And maybe you end up hiring a good football coach, but if you let your fans dictate a hire, that's when you usually don't make a good hire. And that's what Tennessee did. They were confident in Greg Schiano. They wanted to hire Greg Schiano. The deal was done. And because your fans were irate about it, yep, we got to stop it. Like Auburn. They wanted to hire Steele. And then the fans were irate about it, and they end up hiring Brian Harsin. There's a reason there are people in those positions of power. Now, they're not always going to get it right, but don't listen to your fans. And yes, you should do the job for the fans, but when you make a decision and allow the fans dictate your decision, you end up becoming a fan. And look at Tennessee 3 years later. Jeremy Pruitt now out of a job. And now Philip Fulmer was basically forced into retirement. And how about, you want to talk about how messy the situation is at Tennessee? So the legend Phil Fulmer had to retire today and step away from his role as the athletic director. So Jeremy Pruitt was fired because of what? He was fired for cause because of recruiting violations. And then at this press conference for Philip Fulmer, oh, yeah, we've done a great job recruiting. We've done a really good job, really. So you've done a really good job at recruiting, but you're firing Jeremy Pruitt for recruiting violations. I don't know all the specifics of the recruiting violations and all that and what's being alleged, but if I am Jeremy Pruitt's attorney, because you would imagine this is going to become a litigious situation, I'm walking into the settlement or whatever it may become in the courts, and I'm going, wait, I participated in recruiting violations? The AD said I did a great job at recruiting. So we'll wait and see who's going to be the next head football coach at Tennessee. I don't have a clue. I'm not going to imagine, though, that program gets its act together anytime soon. And I don't root against the Tennessee football program. I have no reason to root against them, but they kind of got what they deserved because you allowed fans to prevent you from hiring Greg Schiano. I had someone text me today. Imagine if Tennessee tries to go up to Greg Schiano and say, yeah, I'm sorry, we want to bring you back. And Schiano wouldn't do that now, going back to Rutgers. And I would imagine, I know Schiano has always handled his responses classy about Tennessee. I don't think he would ever even consider going back to Tennessee. And isn't it amazing? You know why there was so much outrage, actually now remembering it? There was so much outrage from Tennessee fans because they had unrealistic expectations. If you remember at the time, who was the number one guy that they courted for that job? Who was the guy that the Tennessee fan wanted? Wanted John Gruden. Now, that just shows, and don't get me wrong, I think Gruden could be a really good college coach. But that just shows you where the standards are all bent out of shape at Tennessee, that they wanted John Gruden. John Gruden is an overrated football coach. John Gruden, the last, you know, also took a decade away from the game. But ever since winning that Super Bowl, he has like 20-something games below 500. But that's who the Tennessee fans wanted. And yeah, there's a difference, college, NFL, and I think Gruden would have a lot of success in college because, you know, his personality would just recruit. But John Gruden was never taking that Tennessee job. And now John Gruden's on a 10-year contract for $10 million a year, $100 million, and he's not worth it. He's not. The last 2 years with the Raiders, what did he do? Oh, they were 6-4, finished 7-9. Oh, then the next year, they were 6-3, finished 8-8. Come on. The Raiders right now, they'll never say this, but they got to be regretting bringing back John Gruden. So I'm sure Tennessee fans are already starting the campaign. Get Chucky out of Las Vegas. Let's bring him to Tennessee. Here's some advice to Tennessee. Don't let your fans dictate this hire. Now, you're already so late in the game that you may not be able to hire the best coach, and you missed out on some candidates and all that, but don't let your fans dictate this hire. If you want to hire someone, go hire them. And if the fans have some campaign, guess what? Fans are going to yell, they're going to complain, they're going to tweet, they're going to write things on the rock and all that. They're going to come back. How many times, let me put out there, for example, I know it doesn't necessarily apply for the last hire because the Jets actually hired what is supposed to be a good coach in Robert Saleh. How many times do Jet fans complain about who their team picked at quarterback or who their team picked to be the next head coach? They always come back. That's what fans do. And anytime someone new is brought into a position of power, even if it is a popular decision, you will always have people that will question and hate it and scream about it. So yeah, 3 years ago, Tennessee should have hired Greg Schiano. I'll tell you this, Greg Schiano would have done better than 16-19. I bet you Greg Schiano would not have been fired after 3 years. I'm not even telling you Greg Schiano's a great coach, but they thought he was the right man for the job, and then because your fans were crying, wah, oh, yeah, I don't want Greg Schiano. You got Jeremy Pruitt. How'd that work out? How did that work out? So you kind of get what you asked for. You get what you deserve right there, Tennessee fans. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Let me go to Tony in Vancouver, Washington, next up on CBS Sports Radio. Tony, what's shaking?
Zach, I got to disagree with you, man. I don't know where you come up with Deshaun Watson being worth all this draft capital. I mean, Mahomes won a Super Bowl in his second year. Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl in his second year. Josh Allen looks like a franchise quarterback and is leading Buffalo as such. Deshaun Watson has been on a playoff team in Houston every year he's been in the league. That's why Houston didn't pay him. They don't think he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Deshaun Watson was paid by Houston this offseason.
Excuse me?
Deshaun Watson was paid by Houston this past offseason.
Okay, but
so they do believe in him, and the organization ruined his belief in the organization. You don't think Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback?
I don't think he's one of the top flight. No, I think he's a good quarterback.
Do you think he's a top 10 quarterback? You don't think he's a top 10 quarterback?
No.
All right, name me 10 quarterbacks better.
Rodgers.
Okay.
Brady.
Yep.
Wilson.
Okay.
Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Murray.
Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson.
Who?
Jackson.
Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I'd rather have Deshaun Watson than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's 10 that are better.
Yeah, you can't name him, though.
He hasn't done anything, Zach. What has he done?
He hasn't done anything. He's thrown 104 touchdown passes. 104 touchdown passes. Has 36 interceptions. Has 17 rushing touchdowns. He's been in the league for 3.5 years because he got injured in 2017. But he's done nothing.
How many AFC championships?
Yeah, he's never got to one. Do you think that roster is good enough to get to an AFC championship game?
You don't think Mahomes can go into Houston and win a title?
Not with the roster that he has right now, no.
I think he can.
Okay, but would Patrick Mahomes be viewed as the way that we view him now if he was with the Texans? And I think Mahomes is a great player. If you were lambasting Deshaun Watson, you just don't know what's going on with the situation. Cal McNair's incompetent. Jack Easterby's incompetent. And if you want to tell me there's 10 quarterbacks better, you couldn't even give me what? You gave me 6? And there's some questions on the one that you gave me. All right? Kyler Murray's not better. Deshaun Watson, 19 touchdowns, 8 picks in 7 games his first year. 26 touchdowns, 9 picks in 2018. 2019, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. They took away his best receiver this year. I know the team stunk. He had 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He has 17 rushing touchdowns and basically 1,700 rushing yards. Yeah, but he stinks. Huh. And he's just a good quarterback. No, the guy's an amazing quarterback. And you watch. If they trade him, they will get an unbelievable amount of picks, and it still won't even be worth it because of how great he is as a quarterback.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
That was The Zach Gelb Show. Ideal page of the Zach Gelb Show School of Singing, where I know the, I get knocked down, and then I could just basically hum the rest of the song and not really know the words. Doing More, sponsored by the Home Depot. For DIY projects, you know the Home Depot is always in your corner. Now with their mobile app, it could also be in the palm of your hand. The Home Depot mobile app, download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Chiefs backup quarterback Chad Henne stepped up when it mattered the most, and made the two biggest plays of the game to send the Chiefs to the AFC Championship game, facing a 3rd and 14. Henne scrambled 13 yards to set up a 4th down from the and 1 from the Kansas City 48-yard line. Henne then calmly hit Tyreek Hill with a pass for the 1st down that iced the game and helped Kansas City advance past the Browns, and KC will now go on to play the Buffalo Bills Sunday at Arrowhead. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, by the way, for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Let's just go back to our friend Tony, who just called us in the last segment. So he told me that Deshaun Watson's not a top 10 quarterback in the league, where if you couldn't tell, I think I popped the blood vessel, and I vehemently disagreed with that. Then when I asked him to name 10 quarterbacks that are better, he called Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Jackson, and then only could give us, what, 5 or 6 quarterbacks at most, and said Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray are better than Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson, at least there's a conversation. Personally, I think Deshaun Watson's better. Kyler Murray's not better than Deshaun Watson. And part of why he didn't think Deshaun Watson was a top 10 quarterback, well, he makes the playoffs, but he's never got to a championship game. Has Lamar Jackson ever got to a championship game? Nope. Has Kyler Murray, who's in his second year in the league, ever got to the playoffs? Let alone a championship game? Nope. But yeah, Deshaun Watson's, he's a good quarterback, according to Tony, but not a top 10 quarterback. Now, Trace, earlier you said you would trade as a Colts fan 8 first-round draft picks for Deshaun Watson. I think that's a little delirious, but you think that would put your team in a Super Bowl. Now, the Texans are never going to trade the Colts Deshaun Watson anyway. Let me ask you this. Very simple yes or no question. Just because I need to understand and make sure I'm not the crazy one here. Deshaun Watson is a top 10 quarterback, correct, Amunda?
Easily. Without hesitation.
Me saying Deshaun Watson should go at a bare minimum of 3 or 4 first-round picks is a fair statement, correct?
Very, yes.
How many first-round picks? Let's say not a player's involved, no Darnold, no Tua. If it's just straight picks, how many picks do you think Deshaun Watson goes for?
I'm with you, bare minimum 3, and I think that's almost with a caveat where it has to be a team like the Jets or the Jaguars or the Dolphins that has a top 5 pick like right there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a team like the Colts, for example, or a team like the Bears, when you're in the mid to late first round,
you're going to have to get 4.
4, and that's like, we're talking the floor, personally.
Yeah.
When has it ever happened? When do you ever have a quarterback in his prime, top 10, top 5 quarterback on the market available? Right.
Yeah.
26 next year. Never happens.
I 100% agree with you. And not only that, here was my favorite part of the phone call when looking back at it. You know, other than messing up some of the names, it happens, whatever. Other than not being able to name the top 10 quarterbacks. The fact that Tony thinks that he could just put Patrick Mahomes on that Houston team this year, and he would think that Patrick Mahomes would get the Texans with the roster they had this year to an AFC title game, and Deshaun Watson couldn't do that in Kansas City? You're out of your mind. I think Patrick Mahomes is a video game. I've called Patrick Mahomes the last 3 years the best player in football. I have ranted, I have raved, I have yelled right at the top of the mountain at that dopey top 100 NFL players list, how they have screwed Patrick Mahomes on that list the last 3 years. If Patrick Mahomes is on the Houston Texans this year, there is not a chance that they're in the AFC title game. This year, with that garbage defense, with that offense that's relying on David Johnson to run the football, they're not going to an AFC title game. And if you put Deshaun Watson, you know, maybe I should ask that to Tony. Hey, Tone. Hey, Big Tone. Big T. If you put Deshaun Watson on the Chiefs, you don't think he wins a Super Bowl? Like, come on. That's not taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is a great player. Patrick Mahomes has done things that I've never seen. But if you had the Chiefs roster with Deshaun Watson on it, you don't think they've won a Super Bowl by now? You don't think Watson would have won them a Super Bowl? And if Mahomes goes to Texans with that putrid, disgusting, repulsive roster that they put on the field this year, with Jack Easterby running the show and Bill O'Brien getting fired midseason, and Mahomes has that team in an AFC title game? Now, winning championships, getting to conference championship games, also is a part of the evaluation process of what makes a great quarterback. But what? In Tony's eyes, do we not view, Dan Marino? as a great quarterback because he's never won a Super Bowl? Yes, we judge our quarterbacks by winning Super Bowls, but you could still be a great quarterback and not have a Super Bowl. What is Dan Fouts not a great quarterback because he never won a Super Bowl? And I get it. Fouts and Marino, they have had some success in the postseason. But Deshaun Watson, he's been in the postseason before. Now, this year was not a good year, but it wasn't Deshaun Watson's fault. The dude had a career year, and they took away his number one weapon. And if Kyler Murray, who I like Kyler Murray, this is not let's dump on Kyler Murray right now. I'm a big fan of Kyler Murray. But if Kyler Murray was this great of a quarterback in Tony's eyes, or he's better than Deshaun Watson, I know that he was hurt for the final game. But that team was garbage down the stretch after what? They got off to a 5-2 start? And if you put Deshaun Watson on the Cardinals this year, I guarantee you this, they make the playoffs. They definitely make the playoffs this year. With Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald, Kenyon Drake. Oh, yeah, and by the way, that guy DeAndre Hopkins. Come on. I think Tony may be the only person in the world, and I like Tony, I like when he calls in. But I think Tony may be the only person in the world that doesn't think Deshaun Watson is a top 10 quarterback and thinks it's laughable that I said, and I was pretty adamant that it should be more than, you know, it should be four picks, you know, closer to four than three. Now, I would personally think that it's four picks that you have to give up to Deshaun Watson than three. And that's a laughable statement, huh? Really? So interesting phone call there by Tony. And Tony, I know I yelled at you a little bit. You know, I get fired up and then we get close to the break and I have to cut you off. But you can call back anytime. And trust me, you will hear some stupid takes on this show. You will hear some takes on the show and you go, yeah, Zach's crazy. Zach's zany. But saying Deshaun Watson's a top 10 quarterback and saying Deshaun Watson, if he gets traded, is worth at a bare minimum three or four first round picks is not one of those takes where I'm crazy. There's a lot of crazy takes I have. That's not one of them. No Huddle Offense. Hike next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.